much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Introducing the original Trumpy Bear, the fearless, super plush American Grizzly. Trumpy Bear was born June 14th, Flag Day.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Here now, Tom Scabelli, a blogger at Barstool Sports who affectionately goes by the name Tommy Smoke. Tell me on why these flavored e-cigs shouldn't be regulated, even when teens are using them in these increasing numbers.
Well, look, I'm 22 years old, so I'm using them legally, and honestly, they're just cool. Like, they're cool. You rip them. There's nothing cooler than blowing a fat cloud like that. They call me the Colossus of Cloud. It helps my swag. It helps my drip. I just love walking around. It's really good for getting chicks, too.
And now.
Hey, look. Couple of dicks.
Our feature presentation.
That guy rules.
Oh, yeah. Guy's a real killer.
He's the best.
He's great.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 19th of November.
He's ripping a fat cloud, you guys.
I love that.
I happened to be watching TV Saturday night at 11:30. I never watched Saturday Night Live, and they did a parody of that.
It's not as funny as the original.
No, not even close.
No, the original should be the sketch.
He's just way better.
Yeah.
Although Pete Davidson was the perfect person to play the vape god,
sure,
wasn't he?
Not much difference between
sure.
the two.
That Laura Ingraham parody open was very funny on SNL, wasn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, it was funny. I don't know who they were parodying, though. I've never seen Kate McKinnon's character. I never have seen
her. Yes, she's Laura Ingraham, mm-hmm. very popular Fox personality.
Pundit, but, yeah.
I've never seen her, but yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Went on a long time.
Well, that's what they do. They take every four-minute sketch and make it eight.
Yeah.
That's how SNL. I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's how SNL fills up 90 minutes a week.
It really is. Yeah. If they didn't stretch, they would be done in about 16 minutes each week.
Yes.
And if Michael Che and Colin Jost didn't laugh at their own jokes, it would probably be 10, 15 minutes less.
Oh, I didn't get that far.
Okay.
Let's not be ridiculous.
It is the 19th of November, as you mentioned. It is Thanksgiving week. So we're going to cram a lot into these 3 days. And I guess there wasn't any question what we were going to start this morning's Kevin and Bean Show with, and that's the farting controversy that clouded the Grand Slam of darts.
See,
quarterfinal.
Clouded.
Jensen, you saw this, I'm sure.
I did. I saw the story.
Kevin, I know everybody was sending it to you as well.
Oh, this has your name written all over it, they would
it
say.
It does. I mean, look. Look.
Look. Look. It does.
In the history of sports, has there ever been a farting controversy?
Hmm. I mean, it's of course, it's impossible to tell, but I don't remember ever.
I mean, think about all the athletes playing in close quarters with one another. I don't remember there ever being a farting controversy.
Maybe there's the first half and not the last half. Maybe there's no controversy.
Yes, there's definitely farting.
I also, in baseball, I've always wondered when someone goes up to bat, the catcher's face is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, good point.
You could really ruin the game.
Yeah, good opportunity, I guess, to distract.
But this was even better because it was darts.
Yeah.
Yeah, a real sport.
For folks who don't know, this is Gary Anderson, who's from Scotland, as will become very evident when you try to decipher what the hell he's saying in this post-match interview. And he defeated a Dutchman named Wesley Harms to earn a spot in the quarterfinals of the Grand Slam of darts. But as I mentioned, there was a controversy, and in the post-match interview, the reporter was trying to nail him down on who was actually doing the farting. And here's how that went.
Just spoke to Wesley. Besides that, he said you were a class player and you let him alive in the first session. He said that it was smelly on the stage.
I thought Wesley had farted on stage. Yeah. Did he?
No. Well, I think he thinks you did it.
Okay.
You can put your finger up the arse, there'll be no smell.
Sorry. So Gary is saying that Wesley was the one. He said, yeah, I smelled it too. I think it was Wesley who was doing the farting. And the reporter says, no, Wesley says that you're the one who did the fart.
So they're trying to figure out who dealt it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
They both smelt it.
Yeah.
Right. This does turn into a Mike Wallace 60-minute start kind of grilling, though, where this reporter is not going to let it go. Now, I'm not exactly sure what Gary's talking about here.
You can put your finger up the arse, there'll be no smell there. I thought he had and I went, that's dirty.
Anyone?
No.
Yes, the first part I can't repeat. The second part, no, I don't know.
You can put your finger up the arse, there'll be no smell there. I thought he had and I'm like, that's dirty.
Okay, so he thought that his competitor, Wesley, had pooped.
Right.
Yeah. What is that? Okay.
And do you know why he thought that?
Why?
Because he had before.
Yes.
Doesn't he say later in this interview?
Yes, he does.
I've
he
done
does
that.
Mention. Yeah, he does mention that if he farts during competition, he poops. Yes.
That should be the lead here.
Right. What's this guy's misunderstanding of how bathrooms work?
Okay.
It was bad.
It was bad.
It was bad. It was a stink. I thought it was him. And he started playing better. I went, must have needed to get some wind out.
Okay, let me run it again.
And he started playing better. I went, must have needed to get some wind out.
Yeah, I got that.
No. What is it? What?
He started playing better after that. I guess he needed to get some wind out.
Wow.
Oh. I spent a long time watching this weekend.
Unbelievable.
And he started playing better. I went, must have needed to get some wind out.
Oh, that's
wow.
Right. That's
some wind out.
Yeah. You speak Scottish.
Yeah, you speak dart fart.
I speak dart fart.
Dart fart. We've been raising money for Africa, as much money as we can get for dart fart.
Right?
Yeah.
It is definitely a fart gate. Okay, more.
And he thought it was you.
Oh, no. Hands up. Swear on my kid's life. So help me God. Nothing crossed.
I love that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Swear, hands up. Swear on my kid's life. Nothing crossed.
Nothing crossed.
Right. So it was in there. It was in the chamber.
He had one locked and loaded.
But he didn't fire it, no. Is what he's saying. I mean, I got it. Look, I didn't. I don't know anything beyond this piece, but he's a very believable witness.
Agreed.
Don't you?
Yeah, I trusted him too.
And also, a way to have that kind of credibility is to say, I know because I myself have farted and pooped my pants.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
he's almost relating to the guy. You have mm-hmm. to believe him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you swear in your kid's life, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You can't lie.
No, no.
But it was smelly anyway.
It was smelly.
I think they've established that it was smelly. I think that's come
But I think the interviewer doesn't know where to go from here because he already talked to the other guy who said it was this guy. So how do you get any answer out of them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a question of, I mean, this is the Kavanaugh hearing all over again.
Right.
It's just who's believable. I mean, that's really what you just got to decide who's the most believable story.
Could you find the interview with the other guy? Because I couldn't.
No, I haven't.
Wouldn't that be interesting to hear the other?
Yes.
I couldn't find it.
He's went into hiding. He's so embarrassed.
He went out to buy new underwear. Okay.
Usually if I fart on stage, I myself.
There it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Usually when I fart on the stage, I poop myself. And he mentions that this is not the first time he told the story.
Usually if I fart on stage, I myself. And you know that because I've told you in a documentary.
Now that's in a documentary about Gary Anderson, the Scottish darts player.
I want to see that documentary. What's it
you
called?
Have to.
It's
I don't
called,
know, but
Fahrenheit 9/11.
But you have to. You have to Amazon that immediately, Kevin.
I will give it a try.
Ain't scared to. If I'd farted that smelled like that, I'd put my hands up and go, "Oh, sorry, I need to get off."
So who was it then?
Well, don't tell me. You've got enough three boys up there. So, no, definitely came for, it was table side. It was eggs, rotten eggs.
Not from you.
Not from me. No. No.
By the way,
I feel like that guy would have claimed it.
Really?
I feel like the guy that's being interviewed would have.
Yeah, Gary's a proud farter.
Yeah, he would have claimed it had it happened.
The reporter just, I mean, how many times in this 1 minute interview does he say, wasn't you? You sure wasn't you?
I mean, I
could
love
it. Have been you? I mean, he really is.
But what about you? Could it have been you?
It's like Clue. You know what I mean? They're like, was it you, table side with the dart?
He's ruthless.
Okay, thank you.
And every time we walked past, it was a waft of rotten eggs. So that's why I was thinking it was him.
Thank you.
Okay, so there you go. So as far as I'm concerned, the controversy is not settled. It's just more mysterious than it was when we started.
Yeah.
Very happy with that story. I don't know why.
Guess poo instead of guess who? I'm trying.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Don't get hung up, Dan, on that quality thing.
Right, we don't ever. Andrew Siciliano takes a look at the NFL Week 11.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff that happened this weekend.
If you could ban any food, what would it be? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that coming up. We've got Rams tickets for tonight's Monday night game.
Wow.
Right?
It's a big giveaway.
Rams-Chiefs.
Yeah, big game.
We're going to take your Rams fan songs at 7:15-ish. So if you want to start working on that, you can. We have great news, as it is Monday. We have a new game called Hollywood Hunks.
Yeah.
The King of Mexico will not put his license plates on his car. Refuses.
And it's been how many years now?
Like four or five years.
How does he not get a ticket every time he drives on the street?
I mean, they don't look that closely, but I don't know.
You don't have to look that closely to see there's no license plate on a car.
Right, but don't you just assume it's probably new?
Nope, not if you've ever seen Dave's car, no.
Oh, good point. Yeah. I didn't think about that. And we have tickets to the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas also in the 6 o'clock hour. We will take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Hey, speaking of Mike Shinoda, that was his band, along with the rest of the guys in Linkin Park. He's going to be playing night number two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018, which is going to be on Sunday, December 9th at the Forum. We have your tickets that you can win in less than 1 hour from right now. Also, night one tickets later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show as well. Jensen, in for Ally McKay. What's happening?
Well, you guys know that 2018, more than any other year, has been the most difficult time period to decipher if a headline is real or not.
Yeah, true.
You see something and you're just like, this is either The Onion or CNN.
Right.
It's a toss-up.
It could be either. This weekend was no exception. The Cleveland Browns, Art of Football, what the Cleveland Browns are to football. They're so bad, I can't come up with a comparable reference at this point.
How am I Mr. Bad Example when Jensen's on the show?
Listen, they're willing to do whatever is necessary to win a game, and that's the Cleveland Browns' way.
Sure.
They are not a good football team. They're an embarrassing franchise. Mm-hmm. So when they fired their head coach, Hugh Jackson, last month, hiring their replacement sounded less like a job and more like a prison sentence. But when rumors swirled this Sunday that general manager John Dorsey was looking to interview, of all people, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
That I saw that headline and I thought, well, that's clearly fake.
It has to be a fake story.
Yes.
She's a Browns fan, right?
A super fan. On top of that, she's a football fan in general, but also a member of the inaugural College Football Selection Committee.
Huh.
And also, obviously, a very smart mind.
Oh, no question.
And also, you can't do worse than the Cleveland Browns now. So I don't care if they put in a lab rat. You know what I mean? It'll be better. And so basically, ESPN stood by the story when everyone was like, we've Googled it. We need to know if this is real. ESPN had an inside source that said that she was spotted on the sidelines at a Browns game recently with team officials, and she is an official candidate.
I would love for her to take over and just turn that team around, go straight to the Super Bowl if it's
great.
At all possible at this point.
It's basically political Air Bud. You know, like, we brought someone in that you just can't believe is a head coach. It's Eddie. That was that Whoopi Goldberg movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. But where she takes over to the Knicks, right?
The Knicks, yeah. And here's the thing. She would be the first female candidate ever interviewed for NFL head coach job.
Wow.
But the problem is the Browns are denying the report. Even with ESPN standing by it, they put out an official statement that says Condoleezza Rice, lovely woman, very smart, but she's not going to be running the Cleveland Browns, as if it's some sort of prestigious job.
Right, sure.
But the only thing we know for sure is that the Cleveland Browns are a garbage dumpster fire.
Now, Jensen, I have to ask, just because you may be more familiar with the history of the NFL than I am, would she be the first ever Secretary of State to also coach an NFL team?
I got to be honest, I didn't Google that, so
okay.
I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
But I knew that she was possibly interviewed. But also, by the way, if you're being like rumored to be interviewing the first female head coach for the NFL, just say you're doing it.
Just own it, yeah.
And bring her in. Don't be a jerk. Continuing that streak of headlines that are also possible Mad Libs, David Arquette almost died this weekend at a wrestling match with about 200 people in the audience of a bar.
Now, that was fake.
Nope, that's real.
Not fake.
That's very real. I had told you guys a few weeks ago about how the actor and producer was serious about becoming a pro wrestler. We all talked about it, how he's paying his dues, traveling to small cities around the U.S. and training hardcore. All because one time he played a wrestler in a forgettable 2000 movie called Ready to Rumble. And now he wants to return to the squared circle.
Well, maybe don't wait 18 years to then start getting into wrestling
I'm not sure that would have helped.
Bean, you don't rush greatness.
Okay.
And now the reality of that decision is sinking in. On Friday night, he competed in what is called a death match in Los Angeles. And it's as graphic as it sounds.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It wasn't good.
No, I'm a wrestling guy. And death matches are sort of like gimmicks where, like, you know, people can do whatever they want in it. This one, it seemed like they really were fighting to the death. He competed against a guy named Nick Gage, who, upon further research, was released from prison in 2016.
All right.
Which is too close for me. If I'm wrestling someone...
What's your cutoff?
2013.
Okay.
If I'm wrestling you, you got to be a free man.
Has to be a solid 5 years.
Absolutely.
So this is real I'm going to hurt you wrestling. This isn't staged and choreographed and we're just pretending wrestling.
Well, I don't know. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be the latter, but sometimes it works into the former.
But it's more like like an underground fight club.
Yes. Yeah. They used chairs, tables, cheese graters, fluorescent light bulbs, and there was an ending.
Gosh.
Yeah, there was an ending that involved... I mean, it's insane. I don't recommend looking at the video if you're, you know, have a weak stomach.
Squeamish, yeah. Yeah. I usually do, too, and I was able to watch, just get through it once.
It's rough.
But wow.
At the end of the match, it looks like, from a fluorescent light bulb, that David Arquette's neck gets sliced open. Now, it bleeds so much, and his face has blood all over it from earlier stuff, that it looks like David is pushing the blood back into his neck, fearful that it's his jugular. So he begins to walk out of the ring without the match ending. And then,
trying to stop the bleeding, which is going right through his hands.
Yeah, and so instead, he sits there for a second, thinks about it, and then I think he realizes it's not his jugular, and he wants to finish the match like a pro, goes back in, lays down on his back so that he can be pinned. But the Nick Gage guy doesn't go with it, picks up another fluorescent light bulb, hits him with that, and then it becomes real. So even if you think it's fake, at that point it becomes real. David Arquette picks up a chair, hits him for real with it, and the guy, I think, starts to realize then that David Arquette might be dying. And then they end the match really fast. David does not sell, which is what they call, you know, basically pretending you're injured.
Oh.
You know how wrestlers stay in the ring like,
sure.
It hurts my neck. Whatever. Sure. This is real. So he just gets up, walks out, and goes to the hospital.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is bonkers. He tweeted a couple hours later, "Turns out death matches aren't my thing." Which is very funny. The whole thing is a mess, though, and honestly, it seems like Gage may have taken advantage of David in an attempt to make a name for himself. So that's the last time I'll say his name.
I know that death matches are not my thing without having gone through it.
No. I think you could get that actually tattooed across my back.
Yeah.
Shouts to David Arquette. Hope he's feeling better.
That's crazy.
This weekend at the box office, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald came in at number one with a domestic box office opening of $62 million, which sounds high, but it is the lowest debut ever in the history of Harry Potter.
Is that right?
It is. And I
Kevin,
blame...
did you see it?
I did.
Was it good?
I thought it was really good, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Did I understand every single thing? No. I have to go again.
All right.
The word seems to be it's the worst of all the Harry Potter movies. Would you agree?
Worst of all the Harry Potter. Yeah. But not by a
not
lot.
Not by far.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, I like those movies. I like the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's not quite up to the same standards.
Well, I blame Johnny Depp.
I still enjoyed it. Yeah, Johnny Depp was in it way too much.
Yeah, he's awful. He looks like a human dream catcher.
Yeah.
The Grinch stayed strong for its second weekend as it only dropped 44% from its $67.5 million opening, $38 million total. Third place was Bohemian Rhapsody, which added $15 million to its third weekend, pushing its total above $127 million. But the big disappointment was in fourth place with the brand new comedy Instant Family, which made only $14 million in 3,000 theaters. That is not good. And with a $48 million budget, this Mark Wahlberg film will need a long run through the holiday season or just an awkward interview with me for publicity. Either one of those two things. Guys, today's birthdays. Rapper and Kardashian hanger-on Tyga. Star Wars actor Adam Driver. Designer Calvin Klein. You know her from Sleepless in Seattle and When Harry Met Sally. Happy birthday to Meg Ryan. Interviewer and crypt keeper Larry King.
What's with the zombies?
That's a great question.
And maybe he's just looking in the mirror. And one of my favorite actresses, Allison Janney. And
Monday morning means great news on the program today. And at 7:15 or so, we're going to be looking for your Rams songs. You're a Los Angeles Rams fan. You want to be at the game tonight against the Kansas City Chiefs, which is one of the most anticipated matchups of the whole NFL season.
That should be a great game.
Yeah. Should be a great game. All you have to do is sing us your Rams song. Now, it's never going to be as good as Ram It, obviously.
Of course, Ram It is the gold standard.
Gold standard, yeah. But however you want to do it, you can sing it, you can rap it, whatever it is. We want to hear your Ram song in about an hour or so, a little more from right now on K-Rock. If you want NFL tickets for tonight, good luck.
Jensen, what do we got going here?
Okay, this came up in a discussion amongst ourselves just the other day that I think that we are in an era where there are no more Hollywood hunks, really.
Like, define what? Hollywood hunks.
Okay, dudes that are sold to be in a film, and you're supposed to go see it, or TV show, and you're supposed to go see it because they're sexy as hell.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think it
That's
really...
That's absurd.
No, I don't think it happens anymore, and I'm almost sure of it. There's a couple that are on the line nowadays, and we'll bring them up.
But what about when you see the world's sexiest man and stuff? That is all that is when it's Idris Elba like it was this year.
Not a Hollywood hunk.
Absolutely
he's
a Hollywood hunk.
Idris Elba is not a Hollywood hunk.
Everybody who knows who he is thinks he's beautiful.
I'll say
to look
that
at.
He's close. He's getting there because people are like, oh, he'd be the sexiest ass Bond. Like, people will say that, and that gets him closer to Hollywood hunk status, but he is currently not in Hollywood
now,
hunk status.
This doesn't mean that they're hot or not hot. This means they're sold
Yeah.
This the is sex like, appeal of the cell.
Yeah, this is like in the 80s when we had Planet Hollywood and like three dudes would show up to the opening and everyone's like, oh yeah, Bruce Willis. And they would like and they would like move their crotch around. Like I mean, like you have to be a sex symbol in 2018. And also, I will say this. I think it's weird that we used to categorize people like this. And I think it's almost like we shouldn't be categorizing and tagging people, but let's do it for dudes. You know what I mean? Like Megan Fox, those people, we kind of ruin their career. But I love people like Margot Robbie, who now can do everything and is very attractive.
It was very unfair what happened to Megan Fox, by the way.
It is.
It really was. But before we move on, let me ask the ladies, because Christine is here. Yes. Chip is here.
Yeah. They are not experts on this, just so you know, I am.
Okay. All right. Idris Elba, I still say Hollywood hunk.
I'd say so too.
Nope. You know, I see what Jensen's saying though, because to me, he's a serious actor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have ever called him a Hollywood hunk, even though he's hot.
Yes.
But I think of him as more of a serious actor.
Would you go to see a movie because he's hot?
No.
Not a Hollywood hunk.
They're both a no.
Show them the proof.
I would go because he's a good actor.
Yeah. Sure. But... Right.
By the way, that's the selling point.
It's a bonus. But sure. Not,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Oh, thanks, guys.
All right.
Just like that. Proof in the pudding.
What about, and here's another one that I'm going to stand by.
Yes.
It just occurred to me. Who is a Hollywood hunk?
Bean decides that he's going to throw out a name and stand by it all at once.
I do. Right. Chris Hemsworth.
Hollywood hunk.
Total.
Okay.
Absolutely.
For sure.
All right.
A very rare modern day Hollywood hunk.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that you did have some people in that category.
But
because
I will tell you, an evolution of a Hollywood hunk, because he started as sort of a chubby comedian. And then he moved into his world of having that buff cut Avengers slash whatever style. That's a Hollywood hunk. That's it.
Bradley Cooper.
Great question.
How is he? What?
Great question. I will say... Hollywood hunk at one point, no longer, and actively pushing himself away from the Hollywood hunk right now.
By the roles he takes?
Yes.
Chip, Christine?
Yeah, I would say so too. He's a great actor, and he's hot, but I wouldn't say hunk.
Oh. I still put him in the hunk category.
Christine has a very wide category. But
I'm an equal opportunity employer, you guys.
Christine but is very seriously. Thirsty, you guys.
So you would see a movie, if Bradley Cooper's in it, you're like, I want to go see him because he is attractive to me.
It's the only reason I saw A Star Is Born.
Well, that's 50-50 then.
All right. Ryan Reynolds.
All right. Ryan Reynolds, Hollywood hunk.
Hollywood hunk.
A rare Hollywood hunk again in modern day films.
Okay.
But I will say, like, he is also teetering on comedy a bit right now, but he is currently still a Hollywood hunk.
Okay. You mean he might have too much personality to be just a sex symbol? Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely. Because I'll give you a controversial one.
Okay.
It's not currently a Hollywood hunk. But this person's not even a good actor.
Okay.
But in the early 2000s, Chad Michael Murray, Hollywood hunk. Get it going. Get it going. Hollywood hunk. Chad Michael Murray.
All right. I have I'm in
on that one, by the way.
See? So.
See, Christine's in on all those.
Absolutely.
How about Keanu?
Keanu, at one point, Parenthood, Bill and Ted, Hollywood hunk, no longer a Hollywood hunk. You'll go see John Wick.
But he's better looking now than he was 20 years ago.
Listen, I don't make the decisions.
You do.
I make the judgments.
Oh, I see.
No, I don't make the decisions that lead to my judgments.
Oh, I see.
Like, for example, Keanu Reeves now, John Wick and stuff, you don't go see it because Keanu's sexy. You see it because he's cool and he's good looking. That's not a problem.
He's a good action star now.
That's questionable.
Tom Cruise.
Not a Hollywood hunk currently, but quite a career of in and out of Hollywood hunk.
Okay.
Risky Business, Hollywood hunk.
Tropic Thunder.
Hollywood hunk. but, you know, those kind of in and outs, but no, not currently right now.
Interesting.
No.
Hugh Jackman.
It's right on the line, guys, but I'm going to have to say Hollywood hunk mostly.
Okay.
But not really. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Totally.
He's a little too... Uh-oh. He's a little too musical theater at times to be a Hollywood hunk.
That is the slice of the pie of Hugh Jackman that I'm not into.
See?
Wolverine.
Hollywood hunk.
100%.
He's got one foot on each side of that one.
Yeah, he really plays the equator line in between the two.
Here's one he's very sensitive.
Yes, he plays it good, but it's not fully there.
I have one that Bean hates because his wife loves, Josh Holloway.
Not a Hollywood hunk.
Not even a star anymore.
Well, I did say Chad Michael Murray. But yeah, no, not a Hollywood hunk.
I love Chad.
Here's one that I think we should address. I do think 80s Bruce Willis, moonlighting, Die Hard, Hollywood hunk.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I'll even say this.
But no longer?
Possibly still.
Really?
Possibly. Whoa. I don't think, but I mean, like, he's just a sexual being. You know what I mean? Like, you hear he's dating a 21-year-old, and you're like, yep, that makes sense. Like, he's just a hunk. He's a hunky one.
All right, I have I have one that I'm going to put in the James Dean category, fairly or not, because he died so young that I think he'll forever be considered a Hollywood hunk, and that's Paul Walker.
Yes, absolute Hollywood hunk, and not just because I'm not trying to, you know, ruin the dead, but I do think he's a Hollywood hunk because people were putting him in movies just because he was hunky.
Ladies, you agree, Paul Walker?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
How about Ben Affleck?
Great question. Ben Affleck was a Hollywood hunk for a very small amount of time during the J-Lo dating when he was like cut and ripped and on a yacht. But now that he has like a full dragon tattooed back and also like looks so down on his luck, is nowhere near Hollywood hunk status.
Okay.
Like nowhere near, like actually kind of the opposite currently.
Dexter weighs in on the Kevin Bean Instagram. Ryan Gosling.
Absolute Hollywood hunk. And he's done it in such an impressive way because he's taken roles that are serious, like Lars and the Real Girl. He's shown up to set like 40 pounds overweight and they ask why. He says because his character would do it. That's not things a Hollywood hunk would do.
He's perfect.
But he is perfect and he's stuck with it and he's done well. But, you know, you got to go to classics also, like a Burt Reynolds. You know what I mean? That was a
in
Hollywood
the day,
hunk.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, not now. He's
Paul
dead.
Newman, Robert Redford, all those guys. Gregory Peck.
Those are all that you... Well, Gregory Peck's questionable. But everyone else you just said is a Hollywood hunk as well.
Okay, but last question.
Yeah.
We're out of time.
Yeah.
DJ Qualls.
DJ Qualls. Absolute Hollywood hunk. His skinny demeanor, everything he's got going on, his wiry voice. I mean, a sex symbol to the...
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
And never more so than right now. Dave, our producer, the King of Mexico, what are we going to do with you, son?
Listen.
Why do we have to do anything with him?
I'm just living my life as best as I can. I'm living the best life I can.
Yeah, you think you're Knight Rider.
Right?
How long have you been driving your car around Southern California streets illegally by not putting a license plate on it?
Okay, hold on. So, listen. I got a new car in, 2013?
Not a new car anymore. You should say car.
Five years. Yeah. And I just, you know, I never thought that license plates were very necessary.
Okay.
You know? But it kind of ruins the look of your car.
But here's the thing. The law doesn't care that you don't understand it or get it.
Listen, here's the thing. I've been pulled over. My girlfriend has been pulled over in my car.
In that car, okay.
Not one mention of the license plates.
Or back?
Neither.
What?
Neither.
I used to have a back but not a front, and I was in the parking garage at LAX, and they had to walk around. There was a post there. it was almost like they couldn't
climb
see
the side of the wall.
They gave me a ticket.
Yeah. But, you know, and this all came about because I got my my tags for this next year,
right.
You know, and I was thinking, all right, maybe it's time to put them on. But I just don't see a reason why.
Well, I could give you reasons why.
Why?
In case something happens, they could figure out where your car is. It's an identification number.
You could do that with the VIN number. You could do that with...
It's easy to search for VIN numbers.
Driving by, yeah.
Yeah, you can't see that on the cameras, though, is the VIN number.
What happens? Like, what? Give me an example of why I would need my license.
God forbid. I don't want you to die.
Okay.
But God forbid something were to happen where your car gets jacked or you get murdered, and then they have to find your situation. They use bank cameras, all these things they're doing. I saw searching. Listen, there are things going on where they go, oh, that car passed Lake Tahoe. They find you by doing that.
Yeah.
Without you, I'm not even saying you're a criminal, which you could be.
But they just tell by the make and model of what I had. And that's the make and model they're looking for.
Everyone has the same car.
Right?
Yes. But
Dave,
they could narrow it down. If they're looking for a certain car, they're going to look for a certain car. There's no difference of the license plate or the make and model.
So it's been 5 years.
5 years.
Okay.
Yes.
So at some point, did you just make a decision, I'm not going to put on plates? And why did you make that? It's not like you could just go through life and just not get to it.
Again, it was just like, I don't know if I need them. I just don't know if I need them.
Do you think they look uncool?
Oh, yeah.
It just, the car looks better without them. I mean, they do. It looks nice and clean.
Like,
you know. I mean, listen, I put up a Twitter poll yesterday if I need my license plate, if I should put them on.
Uh-huh. And then I got arrested.
Yeah, 67% said yes, and 33% said no. But I asked the reason why, and the main reason was why you should put them on is the front license plate law. But then I got pulled over twice, like I said.
And they didn't even check?
Yeah, and I haven't got a ticket yet.
Do you think they assume... Do you keep the little paper on the window that shows it's new?
I have that paper, yes.
Do you think they think it's new?
I guess, right? And that's the reason why I have it. Just so, you know, the car's always clean, so it looks new.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just don't... I have the... I signed up to get the tolls, so it's not like I'm cheating the okay. city out of taxes and or tolls.
Well, you're technically...
No, it reads the toll.
Well, no, I'm just saying we could use your fix-it money.
Dave, why do you bother renewing your registration every year?
Good question.
Well, because that's definitely bad. Like that.
Oh,
that
I know. I see. So that's good, bad.
Yeah.
So you pick and choose which motor vehicle laws you want to abide by.
Yeah, definitely. Because look, it's just. You need registration. You need to register a car and say it's in operation. Yeah, I get that. You don't need a license plate.
I know what this is about.
I mean,
this is about not being identified in a drive-by.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
This is when you get initiated into the Crips. They won't be able to go to your house.
Yeah.
But has anyone asked you to flash your lights driving through a neighborhood lately?
Have you ever been at a gas station and someone goes, don't go back in your car. There's someone in the back seat. The two fakest urban legends.
But, I mean, you guys don't. You guys put on your plates right away?
Yes. Of course. I mean, I get to it.
Like, I mean, Kevin was my inspiration. I noticed on the new cars he had his plates, but for the longest time, he never had plates. Stryker never had plates.
But he's lazy, though. Kevin is just lazy. I'm saying I know you, and I know that your plan wasn't to not put plates on. You just were too lazy to do it.
Yeah, probably. And then once you don't put them on, then it doesn't enter your mind again.
Put it this way. I don't even know where my plates are anymore.
Oh, this man is just a criminal.
I just don't know where they're at.
I did have a car once that didn't have the kind of holes, the screw places to put on the front plate.
What? Okay.
They didn't have it.
Okay.
I got a fix-it ticket. I had to take it back to the dealership. They created holes to put the license plate in. Like, how are you getting away with this?
It compromised your car, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. New theory.
Yes.
Do you run a lot of red lights?
Oh, no, not at all.
Great question.
Not at all. And by the way, I've gotten a red light ticket, like for the cameras, with no plates. So it's not like I'm trying to
that's
skirt
not possible.
The system. It is.
How? I don't think that's possible.
How? It is.
You didn't run a red light and get a ticket for that because the only way they can identify your car with that camera is with your license plate. That didn't happen.
Remember,
you're a liar.
Remember, my information is on the window.
They can't pick it up. What camera do you think they're using?
They're infrared.
What is it?
It's not a microscope, Dave.
Listen, I got a ticket. I'm just telling you.
All right, get out.
I know what I do.
Get out.
I think you lied.
I win.
Get out. You are a farter and a racist. Get out.
And
the king of Mexico is bullshit.
We want to send you to night number two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. Some tickets are still available, by the way, through Ticketmaster.com. But if you want to be there with us in person on Sunday, December 9th, now would be a good time. I guess you don't need to know much about this. Just be alive, have a pulse, have a phone, and call us, right?
Right.
1-800-520-1067. We will play a game to give away these. All right, we want to give away some free tickets to K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 for Sunday, December 9th at the Forum. This is a game that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. Christmas, that's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah!
I know that we have another game called The Hardest Game of the World, but for me, if I were a contestant with a 10-second timer on Total Recall, this might be the hardest game for me.
I would absolutely fail every time.
Yeah, it puts you on the spot. No one likes that.
But once the timer's over, man, lots of answers flood into your head. So I'm going to be setting up a category for you, and then you'll have 10 seconds, and I'm going to ask you to name three items in that category in 10 seconds, all right? And if you do, you go into the drawing. Somebody wins tickets for night two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Who's our first contestant, please?
First is Tony in Corona. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys. Bong bong, and thanks for making me nervous, Pete.
Bong bong.
I mean, there's almost no way for a person to win, is what I'm saying, Tony. So don't worry about it.
I am part of the Zero Club, so it won't be the first time I lose.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Florence and the Machine are headlining night two, and lead singer Florence Welch is well known not only as a great writer and singer, but also for her head of lovely red hair. In 10 seconds, Tony, can you name for me three other famous red hairs? Looking for three other gingers. Good luck.
Danny from that Partridge Family, Prince Harry, and...
That 10 seconds goes by fast.
Oh, that comes by so fast.
Nice try. Yeah, there's Ed Sheeran and Prince Harry and Shaun White and Kathy Griffin and a lot of them. But thank you for playing and thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's go to Shauna from Lake Elizabeth. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Shauna. How are you feeling about your chances with this game today?
Not good after that.
Okay. Well, your question is different. You can bet that Death Cab for Cutie will be performing on night two, their popular 2018 song called Gold Rush. Besides Gold Rush, can you name for me three other things that have gold or golden in their name? Three other things that have gold or golden in their name. Good luck to you.
Goldschlager, Golden Grand, Golden Bears.
Woo! Look at that! Woo!
She did it in like 3 seconds.
Was Goldschlager, was that one of yours?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Shauna's my girl. All right, thank you very much. Hang on, you are in the drawing. That is well done.
Wow, that was surprising.
That's how you do it.
Let's go to Travis in Irvine. Good morning, Travis.
Hey, good morning, party people.
No pressure. Shauna just killed it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right.
Well, I need redemption after Omar Roki last week.
Oh, no. Oh, you're back. Okay. It is well known that the band Bastille takes its name from Bastille Day, the French holiday commemorating the beginning of the French Revolution in 1789. Besides Paris, where that happened, all you have to do is name for me three other cities in Europe. Three other cities in Europe. Travis, easy peasy. Good luck.
Berlin, Marseille, and Madrid.
Again.
Come on.
Rockstar. Well done. You are in the drawing. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Armando in Glendora. Good morning, Armando.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
We are good.
Armando, we are playing for night two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. The game is Total Recall. I'm going to give you a category. You'll have 10 seconds to name three items. Are you ready?
Sounds good.
Mike Shinoda became well-known to K-Rock listeners as one of the frontmen of the band Linkin Park. Even though it is technically out of season right now, I'm going to ask you to think baseball and name for me five Major League Baseball parks. Five Major League Baseball parks. Three.
Yes,
three
yes.
Major League Baseball parks. Good luck.
Dodger Stadium, Wrigley Field, and I forgot.
Oh man. You got the first two in 2 seconds.
Could have just guessed a team name and said stadium afterwards.
What did he have? He had Dodger and Yankee. That was it, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Wrigley, Anaheim.
All right, don't run it in.
Coors Field, Fenway, yeah. Petco. All right, thank you for playing, though. All right, do we have time for...
Yeah.
We got time for another couple, right?
Let's do David in Signal Hill. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, David. Okay. 10 seconds goes fast. So you got your thinking cap on?
I sure hope so.
All right. Another of the bands playing on night two is Churches. They have nothing to do with the popular fried chicken restaurant, but for the purposes of this conversation, let's keep it on that topic. In 10 seconds, give me three other fast food restaurants that sell chicken in some form. Three other fast food restaurants where there's an item on the menu with chicken in it. Go ahead.
McDonald's, Burger King, and Popeyes.
That's how it's done.
You can really say any fast food restaurant.
That's true.
Except for In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more.
All right. Let's make that Renee in Riverside. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Renee. We're all pulling for you. You ready to play?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. We are very excited to see the young Billie Eilish on the Acoustic Christmas Bill for the first time on night two. And by the way, as a programming note, she'll be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. Although there are several famous women named Billie, it is far more common as a nickname for men named William. In 10 seconds, can you name for me three other famous men known as Billie? Three famous men known as Billie. Good luck.
Oh... Yeah, no.
No Billy Idol, no Billy Joel.
No.
That was
Billy
strong. Corrigan, oh, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Baldwin.
Billy Baldwin, yeah.
I respect you, Renee.
Billy Squire, okay. Thank you for playing anyway. Those are some great contestants, you guys. Congratulations to Shauna, Travis, and David. They are all in the running. One will win tickets to join us on Sunday, December 9th at the Great Western Forum for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is David.
Yeah!
David. Congrats, yeah. David.
Hell yeah.
Hey, congrats.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry to wake you.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
By the way, that winner that won the Acoustic Christmas tickets for night two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Christmas a couple minutes ago also won a JBL Extreme 2 speaker set.
All right.
I don't think that would have changed his ecstatic response when we told him he won. He's like, you won. He's like, cool.
I didn't realize there were awesome speakers included in that. So congratulations and thanks to JBL. We got more tickets you can win for night one coming up at 9. Speaking of winning things, we have tickets for Monday Night Football.
Woo!
Rams and Chiefs tonight. We are looking for your Rams songs. Of course, we all remember the gold standard, the all-time classic. Hey, what year was Ram at, Kevin? 80s, you think?
88? Hey, I don't remember.
Here's how that went.
This is the golden age when all the teams were doing
these. Yeah. Super Bowl Shuffle was so good. Everybody said they got to get in on that. Now, look, we're not expecting your song to be as great as Ram It. But if you want to try, you can give us a call in about, 20 minutes or so?
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067, about 20 minutes. Start thinking about what you want to do. It can be a parody song. It can be a rap song. It can be an original. Something about how much you love the team, how much you want to be there. Whatever your angle is, somebody is going to win tickets to see the Rams on Monday Night Football tonight, coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Right here on K-Rock. Plus, great news on the way. Right now, Jensen's in for Ali with what's happening.
Okay, guys. Real-time host Bill Maher is a real pill, isn't he? Oh, God. I love when conservatives say things like, well, if we got to take this out, then we got to go for Bill Maher. You know, then what about Bill Maher? I'm like, take him away. I don't want him anymore. We don't need him. Well, now he's taking heat for heckling adult comic book lovers, questioning the legitimacy of comic books as a medium, and disrespecting the passing of beloved creator Stan Lee.
Well, that's a strange position to take.
It's a hot take. It's not good. He said America, he put on his blog, America is in mourning, deep, deep mourning for a man who inspired millions to, I don't know, watch a movie, I guess.
That's selling Stan Lee's contributions a little short.
I would absolutely say that.
A lot short.
Also involved in like First Amendment stuff. And then, it's just comic books are literature.
Yeah, agreed.
Although the comedian said he has nothing against comic books. Oh, that seems wrong. He added that when he was growing up, comics were for kids. And when you grew up, you moved on to big boy books without the pictures, says the guy who always goes to the Playboy Mansion to hit on 21-year-olds who thinks he looks ugly. He also concluded, I don't think it's a huge stretch to suggest that Donald Trump could only get elected in a country that thinks comic books are important.
All right, that is a connection that cannot be made.
No, it's just a take to get people to respond.
Yeah,
I'm doing it. A crowd of comic book fans and many superhero filmmakers and people who've been in the Marvel movies all blasted Bill Maher online. I don't know. This guy sucks.
Yeah. Sounds like he's just clickbait.
Yeah.
He's trying to get people to respond.
Yeah. I like Bill Maher, by the way.
Yeah.
I do not watch his show regularly, but I do think he is a smart guy who has does speak some truth. He's not always right.
No.
He's pretty scattershot. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with everything anybody says, though.
He's Coulter-esque at times. I think sometimes he
can be.
Just to get a response, and this one got one, and I don't know. It's a dumb take.
It is a very dumb take, absolutely.
But I'll make fun of the Stan Lee cameos. I think those are kind of dumb.
Do you?
That's a hot take. I don't know, because they ended up adding him in at the end as like a FedEx guy. It's like he had no real, like,
no real purpose ever.
No, like Spider-Man would be like, running through the streets and then he'd stop a Hyundai and the guy's like, why? And it's Stan Lee in the car. It's like, I don't know, man. Make it more creative.
It always made me a little happy to see.
I don't know.
I always liked him. They weren't creative, but I always liked him.
This next one, the Guardians of the Galaxy 2, they're going to be at a funeral and he's going to be in the casket.
Oh, now
that is not.
That's not. I don't know why.
Bill Maher of Kevin and Bean, Jensen Carter. There's no way around it, guys. Sometimes people cheat.
Okay.
It just happens. And it turns out there's a day of the week and time that it's most likely to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
When do you guys
I missed it yet?
what time of the day and day do you think it is?
I would say probably Friday night.
Okay.
I would say...
Can you get more specific about the night?
I would say Friday night at 10 p.m.
Okay.
I would say noon.
Ooh, you're looking at the lecture.
I just think, yeah.
Okay. It's Friday night.
Friday night?
Oh, okay. 6:45 p.m.
How did they determine that?
It's, well, I'll tell you.
6:45.
6:45 p.m. It's probably around traffic time. The data comes from a new survey conducted by the UK dating website for married people. It's called illicitencounters.com. They surveyed 1,000 people and found the top excuses people make so they can meet up with their side piece, including going out with coworkers and working late. So that
see,
makes sense.
I thought noon for the same reasons. Yeah. They're at work or whatever. But
yeah.
Yes. 6:45.
It's very specific. The data also found that cheating partners were likely to see their lover twice a week, with the second most popular day being Tuesday. Tuesday. The very hot day of Tuesday. Also, who does this research? I mean, I know I gave you illicitencounters.com, but sure. That job is crazy.
Yeah.
It's not good. Also, former Malcolm in the Middle star Frankie Muniz has a bummer this month when he returned to his five-story brownstone, by the way. Five-story brownstone. To find it flooded and fully damaged.
Oh.
On Twitter last week, the 32-year-old actor, did you know he hosts Dancing with the Stars Jr.?
No,
I did not.
Yeah, well, there you go. Said he returned home from his uncle's funeral in France to find the destruction that his cat accidentally did by turning on a sink while he was out of town and the place flooded.
Oh, my gosh.
How did the cat turn on the sink?
I mean, just with his little paw.
See, that's why you need to get rid of cats. Am I right?
Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of cute.
Your cat floods how many floors of his brownstone?
Five.
Oh, my gosh.
His girlfriend, Paige Price, said on Instagram that every single wall, floor and ceiling has to be ripped out and replaced to avoid mold.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Question, guys. Do you kill the cat?
No, you don't.
Yes. I don't know.
You don't.
I don't know. Maybe
but
you
that's
do.
Awful.
Yes, you do.
He's like Toons is the cat. It's like it's cute. It's walking around and then it ruins your house.
Did you say he was coming back from a funeral?
Yeah, his uncle's funeral in France to make it worse.
That's a bad week, you guys.
Yeah. Right? He said he cried more over those 2 days looking at the damage in the funeral than his entire life combined. And Frankie Muniz has had quite a life.
Flooding, by the way, that's terrible.
It's terrible.
That will ruin you.
But on a better note, today's birthdays, rapper Tyga, he's not good at rapping, actor Adam Driver, designer Calvin Klein, former America's Sweetheart Meg Ryan, interviewer and human Sharpay Larry King.
You really want to go there?
Who do you think?
Who do you think?
How do I know?
How do I know?
Because you know people that she knew. I don't know people that she knew.
I don't know.
I do miss his interviewing style.
He is a real genius at interviewing. And then movie star that I love very much, Allison Janney. It's her birthday.
All right, are we ready to ram it?
Yes, we are.
Okay, 1-800-520-1067. Now is the time to call in. In just a few minutes, we'll put you on the air. You can sing your song about Monday Night Football with the Rams versus the Chiefs tonight at LA Memorial Coliseum. You will win a pair if yours is the best song. 1-800-520-1067. Time to ram it here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll get to you right after. Great news!
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
We've had this conversation many, many, many times. What would you do if you won the lottery?
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman in Iowa, 51-year-old Lauren West, was celebrating the purchase of her new home. She and her sister were in a truck. They ran to get some pizza. They bought a lottery ticket, and they won the biggest lottery in Iowa history with $341 million.
That's a win.
Workout.
Exactly. And this, do we have the audio for that? There we go. Thank you.
So I called my sister, and I said, you know, I just talked to Andrea, and Andrea said somebody won the lottery. And she said, funny you should mention that. Your tickets are in my truck.
Now, at that point, don't you think for $343 million, sister's like, I don't know.
I haven't seen them.
We bought it together. I don't know.
And I said, well, send me a picture. And so she sent me a picture and put those numbers into the IALottery.com. And it was red, 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 red. Jackpot. I want you to know that as I stand here today, I know the responsibility that I have to do good with this money.
No,
I plan
no, no,
to make
no,
the-
no, no. Hold on a sec. The responsibility you have to disappear, my dear, yeah. Not to do good with the money, to vanish.
That's my point, is that she comes out to, when she's receiving the check.
Uh-huh.
She starts talking about all the good that she's going to do with it, including, you'll hear coming up, she's already founded a charity.
Oh, I hate her. She's an awful person.
The responsibility that I have to do good with this money. I plan to make thoughtful and responsible decisions on giving to my friends, my family, and to help others. I have established the Callum Foundation. It's callumfoundation.org. So the Callum Foundation is set up in honor of a grandson of mine who was born in April and he lived for one day. And so that foundation is to honor him and to do good for others.
So she's already started a foundation that will offer grants to initiatives that alleviate poverty, hunger, and improve education, animal welfare, and veterans affairs.
When you say it like that, it makes it hard to hate her.
Right. But I'm saying she got all those ducks in a row before she even accepted the check.
Wow.
And that's a good person.
She is very special.
And that's my great news.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm buying an island with that $300 million and living by myself for the rest of my life.
Right, that's not as great news.
Not as great news.
I know.
I think she's the right person.
But great news for him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Back in 2013, times were simpler, guys. Things like the Harlem Shake and Justin Bieber's monkey being confiscated. Those were our biggest
concerns.
Those were
good times.
Yeah, those were the biggest concerns on the internet. And feel-good stories were still able to warm our cold, jaded hearts. Like Bat Kid.
Bat Kid.
Remember Bat Kid?
I do.
He was adorable. Miles Scott was a 5-year-old in San Francisco who was diagnosed with life-threatening leukemia and was given one wish by the Make-A-Wish Foundation. His wish was to be a superhero. So the charity created an obstacle course of sorts throughout the Bay Area, where in front of a crowd of thousands, he dressed as Batman and ran through quote-unquote Gotham, battling the Penguin and the Riddler to rescue Lucille, the San Francisco Giants mascot, and in the process, stole the country's hearts.
Yeah.
It was adorable and beautiful. It was an amazing story that earned Little Miles a key to the city and became the subject of a documentary called Bat Kid Begins that will force you to cry. I've seen it. It's a good movie. Well, here's even more good news about Miles. It was reported this past weekend that he has been in remission for 5 years and is now considered to be officially cancer-free.
Wow.
It's not how you saw the Bat Kid story.
No.
Me neither. He had been fighting the disease since he was 1 year old, and now he's returned to his life as a normal kid. He plays Little League, goes to school, and helps on his family's farm. Now 10 years old and in the fifth grade, this Batman Kid story ends better than any of the Batman movies like that have been on screen. It's incredible. So congratulations to Little Miles, who will always be known as Bat Kid, but is now cancer-free and living life to the fullest. And that was my great news.
That is fantastic, Jensen.
Isn't it? Yeah, I did.
You're absolutely right. You thought that's the type of thing they dress him up because he's got 3 months to live and
right.
He has to fulfill a fantasy.
And that's
like
the
a
end
wish.
Of the story.
Are you saying, Bean, that they should take the wish back?
No. I'm saying I'm just happy to hear the way it worked
okay,
out.
Okay, good.
Here's a company called Bombas that I was unfamiliar with. David Heath is the co-founder of this company, and he found out that the most requested item at homeless shelters is what, would you think? The most requested item at homeless shelters.
Food.
Yeah, I would think food, too.
Socks. It's also the least donated. Lots of people donate their old clothing, but they don't donate their socks. And shelters usually don't take used socks. At first, he realized this was a problem, and he started buying socks and handing them out to homeless people that he saw on the streets. But then he realized how much demand there was. He says, I encountered a homeless veteran who had a sign saying anything will do. I walked up and said, hey, I don't have any money, but I have a pair of socks for you. And the man said, that's exactly what I needed. How did you know? So he thought about that as he watched the man take off his shoes, seeing that one foot was wrapped in a bandana, the other was wrapped in a plastic bag.
Wow.
And he said, I have got to do something. So he teamed up with a man named Randy Goldberg, and they created a sock company. This is the only reason he got into the sock business is because he realized homeless people need socks. And his idea was that he would have a buy one, give one model. So for every pair of socks that his company sold, they would donate a pair to a homeless shelter as well.
Doesn't seem like a good business plan.
He has donated now over 10 million pairs of socks.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. They got their big break, by the way, when they were featured on Shark Tank in 2014. Damon John from FUBU decided to partner with the company, and that's what really sparked the business to go national. And he said, look, no one ever grows up about, you know, creating the perfect sock, dreaming about that, or building a sock empire. Although, doesn't one of the Kardashian kids have a sock empire?
I think so. Yes.
Well, sort of. I don't know if you call it empire.
Define empire.
Yeah, he has a sock shack.
Right, exactly. So this was his idea that was just based on realizing that homeless people don't have socks. He's turned this into an extremely profitable business. Now he says he wants to spread it and get into other products other than socks with the same plan. One for me, one for you. How wonderful is
that's
that
fantastic
story?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And that's my great news.
All right, we have tickets for tonight's Monday Night Football, the Rams and the Chiefs. We're looking for Rams fan songs. You mm-hmm. can make it up however you want. You can do a parody. You can make up an original.
Hell, you could whistle.
You could whistle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a choice.
Yes, if you want to whistle, you could win.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067, and somebody will be going to Monday.
Arguably the two best teams in football. You make a case that the Saints are up there, too, but Rams versus Kansas City Chiefs at the L.A. Memorial Coliseum is tonight. We are asking you to ram it. Asking for your Rams fan songs at 1-800-520-1067. So this is every caller is a knockout round. Is that
correct?
My understanding
yes.
here, Kevin?
If you
all
beat
right.
the person before you, you stay on.
Okay. All right. This is like your old battle rap days, Jensen.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm basically roll call ready, guys.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Luke in Cyprus. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, Luke, it's time to ram it. Let's hear your Ram fan song, please.
Okay, I'm not much of a singer, but I'm a Rams fan, so here you go.
This all right, all right.
I really want to see some football ram it in. Aaron Donald and Todd Gurley ram it in. If K-Rock will let me go, well, that certainly wouldn't blow. Allie McKay, don't you know, ram it in.
I thought that was very fun. And
good
so
delivery.
Far, you are in the lead, Luke, so congratulations. Please hold on the line.
All right, so let's go to Sheila in North Hollywood. Hi there.
Hello. Okay, it's Paradise City, and I'm tone deaf.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
Fantastic.
Take me down to Mexico City. Oh, no, the grounds are way too gritty. Ooh, take me to the Rams. Take me down to the Coliseum where the tickets are free and K-Rock sends me to see them. Ooh, take me to the Rams.
All right.
All right. You know what? I enjoyed that very much. My vote is still for Luke, though.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
Luke's
you
ahead,
very
yeah.
much. Thank you very much for playing. We appreciate it. Let's move on to David in Torrance. He is up next on the Kevin Amin Show.
Morning, David.
Hey, what's up, man?
All right. Luke is the man to beat. Let's hear your Ram song.
All right. To live and die in L.A. is the place to be. To live and die in L.A. I'm going to watch the Rams win the Super Bowl. You're going to see.
All right. That is a dynamic delivery.
Thanks for the call.
Was that Ed Sheeran?
The real Ed Sheeran?
Yeah. Was that him?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Let's try.
Luke is still in the lead, by the way.
I know. Shockingly. Let's try Rebecca in Buena Park, line 5, please.
Luke only took the lead because he went first.
Yeah, I know.
And everybody else is worse.
Okay. Well, you haven't heard Rebecca yet.
Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're looking for your Rams fan song.
Okay. Boom, kick a boom, kick a boom, boom, boom. Rams, Rams, we are the jams. Better than the rest, we are the best. Woo!
Where is she? Are you in your house?
Were you a cheerleader, Rebecca?
In my car!
In your car. Okay. Okay, all right.
You have one volume level, don't you?
She does. And it's hysterical. Okay,
by the way,
sorry,
I'm voting for Rebecca over Luke.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot abide.
All right, Jensen,
I'm not voting for Rebecca!
Okay, thank you, Rebecca. Luke's still in the lead.
She was very enthusiastic. I enjoyed it very much.
Thanks for calling!
All right, how about Joseph Eagle Rock up next on the Kevin Amin Show? Do it, Rams fan songs to win tickets for Monday Night Football. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, how's it going? Okay,
good.
I'm going to do a detachable Rams fan.
All right.
Detachable Rams fan. Bum, 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 bum. Detachable Rams fan. Dum, dum, dum. Bum, bum, bum. Started out in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, Los Angeles. Went to St. Louis. Oh, no, take that back. We went to Anaheim. Went to Anaheim. Then we went to St. Louis. Now we're back in Los Angeles because I'm a detachable Rams fan. Dun, 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 dun. Detachable Rams fan. Dun, 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 dun. Give me those tickets, KRQ. Okay, I need them. Please, please, please.
Okay. Look, I like cocaine as much as it is.
On a completely different topic, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Don't get me wrong. Cocaine is awesome. I'm not coming down on you. My vote is still Luke, I'm sorry to say.
Wow.
How about you, Jensen?
This is crazy.
I vote for Luke, but also that dude's dealer, yeah.
All right, let's go to Edgar in Montebello. Hi.
Okay. Edgar.
All right, here we go. Who are we? We're the Rams. We're going to beat down those Chiefs tonight. Our little brother's going to watch us like they couldn't take care of the game last night. We are the Rams. Whose city is this? Our city.
This is such a weird contest.
I love what you do, Edgar.
Yes, and
thanks for calling.
It's a little pitchy, dog.
All right, one more. This is going to be Daniel
How
Boyle.
How is Luke still in the lead?
No, I would not have predicted that.
All right.
Daniel is Boyle Heights. He's up first, last, I don't know where we are.
Last. Light eight.
Daniel, good morning.
Good morning. I am the Rams fan.
Okay, is that the song or that's the name of it?
Here come the LA Rams, ready to whoop on that KCS. Here comes Todd Gurley, gonna truck all these little girlies. Here comes Jared Goff, gonna drop bombs on all these clowns. K-Rock, let me go, I'll be forever loyal to your show.
I mean, I gotta tell ya... I love what you've done with the Iron Man Black Sabbath. I love it. Creative lyrics. I think I might be swayed to go Daniel on this.
I do too.
I'm staying Luke. So
you're staying Luke, but Bean is Daniel and I'm Daniel.
Yes, it looks like two to one.
Daniel is our winner.
Woo!
You all right?
Yeah, man, my heart's pounding.
All right.
Poor Luke, man. He was so close.
Yeah, he was. With such minimal effort.
Look, in the history of sports, has there ever been a farting controversy?
I mean, of course it's impossible to tell, but I don't remember ever.
I mean, think about all the athletes playing in close quarters with one another. I don't remember there ever being a farting controversy.
I mean, maybe there's the first half and not the last half. Maybe there's no controversy.
Yes. Yeah, there's definitely farting.
I also, in baseball, I've always wondered when someone goes up to bat, the catcher's face is right there.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, good point.
You could really ruin the game.
Yeah, good opportunity, I guess, to distract.
But this was even better because it was darts.
Yeah.
A real sport.
For folks who don't know, this is Gary Anderson, who's from Scotland, as will become very evident when you try to decipher what the hell he's saying in this post-match interview. And he defeated a Dutchman named Wesley Harms to earn a spot in the quarterfinals of the Grand Slam of darts. But as I mentioned, there was a controversy, and in the post-match interview, the reporter was trying to nail him down on who was actually doing the farting. And here's how that went.
Just spoke to Wesley, and besides that, he said you were a class player, and you let him alive in the first session. He said that it was smelly on the stage.
I thought Wesley had farted on stage. Yeah. Did he?
No. I think he thinks you did it.
Okay.
You can put your finger up the arse, there'll be no smell.
Gary is saying that Wesley was the one. He said, yeah, I smelled it too. I think it was Wesley who was doing the farting. And the reporter says, no, Wesley says that you're the one who did the fart.
So they're trying to figure out who dealt it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
They both smelt it.
Yeah.
Right. This does turn into a Mike Wallace 60 minute grilling, though, where this reporter is not going to let it go. Now, I'm not exactly sure what Gary's talking about here.
You can put your finger up the arse, there'll be no smell there. I thought he had and I went, that's dirty.
Anyone?
No.
Yes, the first part I can't repeat. The second part, no, I don't know.
You can put your finger up the arse, there'll be no smell there. I thought he had and I went, that's dirty.
Okay, so he thought that his competitor, Wesley, had pooped.
Right.
Yeah. What is that? Okay.
And you know why he thought that?
Why?
Because he had before.
Yes.
Doesn't he say later in this interview?
Yes, he does.
I've
he does
done that.
Mention, Yeah, he does mention that if he farts during competition, he poops. Yes.
That should be the lead here.
Right. What's this guy's misunderstanding of how bathrooms work? Okay.
It was bad. There was a stink. I thought it was him. And he started playing better, but must have needed to get some wind out.
Okay, let me run it again.
And he started playing better, but must have needed to get some wind out.
Yeah, no, I got that.
No. What is it?
He started playing better after that. I guess he needed to get some wind out.
Wow.
Oh. I spent a long time watching this weekend.
Unbelievable.
And he started playing better, but must have needed to get some wind out.
Oh, that's wow. Right. That's
some wind out.
Well, yeah. Good. You speak Scottish.
Yeah, I do. Speak dart fart.
I speak dart fart.
Dart fart. We've been raising money for Africa, as much money as we can get for dart fart.
Right?
Yeah.
It is definitely a fart gate. Okay, more.
He thought it was you.
Oh, no. Hands up. Swear on my kid's life. So help me God. Nothing crossed.
I love that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Hands up. Swear on my kid's life. Nothing crossed.
Nothing crossed.
Right. So it was in there. It was in the chamber.
He had one locked and loaded.
But he didn't fire it, no. Is what he's saying. I mean, I got it. Look, I didn't. I don't know anything beyond this piece, but he's a very believable witness.
Agreed.
Don't you?
Yeah, I trusted him too.
And can't also, a way to have that kind of credibility is to say, I know because I myself have farted and pooped my pants.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
he's almost relating to the guy. You have mm-hmm. to believe him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you swear in your kid's life, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You can't lie.
No.
But it was smelly anyway.
It was smelly.
I think they've established that it was smelly. I think that's come
But I think the interviewer doesn't know where to go from here because he already talked to the other guy who said it was this guy. So how do you get any answer out of them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a question of, I mean, this is the Kavanaugh hearing all over again.
Right.
It's just who's believable. I mean, that's really what you just got to decide who's the most believable story.
Could you find the interview with the other guy? Because I couldn't.
No, I haven't.
Wouldn't that be interesting to hear the other?
Yes.
I couldn't find it.
He's went into hiding. He's so embarrassed.
He went out to buy new underwear. Okay.
Usually if I fart on stage, I myself.
There it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Usually when I fart on the stage, I poop myself. And he mentions that this is not the first time he told the story.
Usually if I fart on stage, I myself. You know that because I've told you in a documentary.
Now that's in a documentary about Gary Anderson, the Scottish darts player.
I want to see that documentary. What's it
you
called?
Have to.
It's
I don't
called,
know. But
Fahrenheit 9/11.
But you have to. You have to Amazon that immediately, Kevin.
I will give it a try.
Ain't scared to. If I'd farted that smelled like that, I'd put my hands up and go, "Oh, sorry, I need to get off."
So who was it then?
Well, don't tell me. You've got enough three boys up there. So no, definitely came. It was table side. It was eggs, rotten eggs.
Not from you.
Not for me. No.
By the way,
see, I feel like that guy would have claimed it.
Really?
I feel like the guy that's being interviewed would have.
Yeah, Gary's a proud farter.
Yeah, he would have claimed it had it happened.
The reporter just, I mean, how many times in this 1 minute interview does he say, wasn't you? You sure wasn't you?
I mean, I
could
love
it. Have been you? I mean, he really is.
But what about you? Could it have been you?
It's like Clue. You know what I mean? They're like, was it you, table side with the dart?
He's ruthless.
Okay, thank you.
And every time we walked past, it was a waft of rotten eggs. So that's why I was thinking it was him.
Thank you.
Okay, so there you go. So as far as I'm concerned, the controversy is not settled. It's just more mysterious than it was when we started.
Yeah.
Very happy with that story. I don't know why.
Guess poo instead of guess who?
We are going to have a They don't write them like that anymore, do they?
A jam.
It's a jam, all right. Thanksgiving week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and the Red Zone on DirecTV. Talk about football from this past weekend and look ahead toward the Monday night game of the Rams tonight. That's coming up. First, Jensen's in for Allie with what's happening.
When you think of lasagna, you don't think about dessert, do you?
No. Lasagna is my favorite food.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Really?
Yep.
Your favorite food?
Yeah.
You and Garfield.
Do you hate Mondays?
I don't know that Garfield loves that, but it's my favorite food. But go ahead.
Well, Olive Garden is looking to change that. My pals over at the chain restaurant released its new chocolate brownie lasagna yesterday.
Ooh.
And the creation consists of 8 layers of brownie fudge and vanilla cream cheese.
Okay, I'm in. I thought they were trying to mix the two together.
No, they're
and
just
that sounded bad.
Dessert lasagna.
I'm in.
In other words, it looks like lasagna, but it's really just dessert.
Yeah, it's like layered cake, but
that
done
sounds
like
great.
It's then sprinkled with chocolate shavings and topped with chocolate drizzle.
And this is where? Olive Garden?
Olive Garden.
Kevin, you got to go to Olive Garden.
I'm in.
I mean, is this something you guys would both try?
Oh, I would in a second.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought you guys were going to think it was gross.
No. Okay. I mean, it's just the shape of it. It's just chocolate and vanilla, but it's just in a different shape. That's fine.
I've underestimated you both.
Jensen, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food, I really like Asian-style noodles.
Okay.
Like a ramen, but I don't even need it with the soup. Just
the noodles.
Just the noodles.
All right. Bean?
Well, toast, obviously.
He said that his whole life.
Toast is my favorite
food. Toast is his favorite food. And I go, it's absolutely not even food.
It is absolutely
food. It just
food.
Isn't.
You know what you're going to love,
Bean? I have it for a meal.
Bean, you know what you're going to love? Jail. They have a lot of toast for you.
All right.
Moving on from lasagna, neither Justin Bieber or Hailey Baldwin have officially confirmed that they have been secretly married in September, has been the rumor for quite some time. But the two are sending pretty clear signals that they are actually husband and wife.
Huh.
Yeah. First, Hailey changed her Instagram name to Hailey Bieber this last Friday.
I mean, that's a clue.
That was
a small one.
Unless it's just a nickname. And then changed her name on her bio to Hailey Road Bieber. Road is her middle name, spelled R-H-O-D-E, not R-O-A-D.
Good.
Like everyone's driven on it. This came after Hailey was photographed wearing a jacket that said Bieber written across the back on Thursday night. Also on Friday, Justin posted a photo of himself and Hailey holding hands on a street and captioned it, "My wife is awesome."
But where's your evidence that they might be married?
Also, according to E, Hailey filed to trademark the name Hailey Bieber to be used on a potential clothing line in October. Very specific.
Wow.
Hailey,
I'm starting to think they're together as a couple.
Hailey Baldwin, isn't she one of the hosts of that Drop the Mic show on TBS?
She is a pal of mine because I did hire her to co-host my television show.
Okay, then why don't you know whether she's married or not?
Listen, guys, I have to play a certain amount of secrecy as a co-host on this radio show. But I do think they're married. I can say that.
Well, okay. I mean, they are saying that.
Yeah, look at that. It's everywhere. But also, do you think that trademarking your married name could ruin a marriage? Do you know what I mean? Like, babe, I just trademarked my name.
I don't know.
Like, it's a little
weird.
It's
both of their names.
Yeah, but it's a little businessy, isn't it?
Yeah. But both of them could get into that business easily.
And I also think it's smart if you're a celebrity just to do it so that somebody else can't.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I remember LeBronJames.com. There was, like, some squatter on it when he was a freshman in high school. And then when LeBron wanted to get it, he just sued him and got it back real fast.
Yeah.
You can't squat on it.
I mean, look at the years I've held on to England Dan and JohnFordColey.com. I'm not letting that go.
Who was it that wanted their name back and you wouldn't give it to them?
I did give it to them, but they were dicks about it, and it was Pablo Cruz.
PabloCruz.com. For a long time, and then the way they came at him was a little businessy with lawyers and stuff, and right. Bean's like, yeah. Nope.
No need.
Yeah, I'm going to take a stand on this.
Come
one.
Get me.
I would have been happy to hand it over, but they came, the first contact, Jensen, yeah. You tell me how you feel, was, we're suing you.
Jeez.
Their first, not even like, hey, what's your deal? Are you a big fan? Nothing like that. They came after me talking legal stuff, and that I just dug my heels in at that
How many
point.
Did you buy? How many were you squatting on? Like names?
Oh, he's got like 40.
Really?
I got a bunch.
Yes.
I got a bunch.
we need to go through them again at some point, Bean.
But none of them, please understand, Jensen, because this is new for you, none of them are because my intention is to extort anybody. I bought them with the intention of, I'm a big fan of this person or this group or this thing, this idea. Mm-hmm. I'd like to do something with it one day. You know, because you always think you're going to have all the time in the world. So I own, you know, ValentinaTereshkova.com, first female cosmonaut. I mean, I think one day I'd like to put up a tribute site to her.
Okay.
I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Guys, I did just look one up.
Yes.
MarkandBrian.com is available.
Oh, nice.
Just so you know. So I'm thinking about squatting on that in case of a comeback.
Nice.
All right, good job.
I doubt that's happening, but good luck.
Oh, well, good luck to both of them. Guys, today's birthdays. Rapper Tyga, actor Adam Driver, your mom's favorite actress Meg Ryan, interviewer and legendary Nosferatu impersonator Larry King.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
You paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day.
You paint
By the way, something. What do you care?
paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
You're sick.
I wish his radio show were still on.
Same.
The best. Larry King, happy birthday. And
Billie Eilish, you guys, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning. How about that?
Excited about that.
It's going to be good. Do you think a spider is going to pop out of her mouth?
I hope not. She does seem to love those spiders.
Yeah.
Hey, we can have tarantula talk when she's on, because I had Fluffy, remember?
Also, Fluffy was dead for
he was not,
the entire time. I would go into the house, and Fluffy was still in the exact same position it was 5 years before. And Bean's like, oh, no, he's very happy.
Tarantulas are not monkeys, Kevin. They don't bounce all over
no,
the house.
I would expect him to move an inch.
In its defense, though, if I didn't move for 5 years, I'd also be very happy.
Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons tomorrow as well. Later in the week, Doug Benson, Adam Carolla, and more. Right now, though, it's our Monday visit with our good friend Andrew Siciliano from the Red Zone on DirecTV and the NFL Network. Andrew, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning to you. It sounds like the Monty Python Dead Parrot thing.
It does a little bit. I'm so glad to have you on, and I think we all need to discuss the Joe Theismann injury before we get into the Alex Smith injury. Because I am telling you, when I heard about what happened to the Redskins quarterback yesterday, I did everything I could to avoid watching the tape because, and this isn't a joke, Andrew, I still have chills and nightmares sometimes about seeing the Theismann thing happen live. It's one of those events in my life that never left me, and I can't go through it again, so I won't watch that tape.
See, here's the thing about yesterday is that there was something pretty ridiculous in every single game. The Redskins game, the ridiculous thing was the broken leg for Alex Smith, and for those who don't make the connection, what you're talking about, it was 33 years ago to the day.
Wow.
Yesterday.
And Theismann was in the stands calling the game, right? He's color for one
right.
of the stations.
Well, no. He was just in a suite, glad-handing, but he was there.
Okay.
And not only that, it was the exact same score yesterday from that day.
Jeez.
33 years.
All right, that's weird.
And it was weird. So I grew up outside Washington, D.C., that game in which Joe Theismann broke his leg 16 different ways and Lawrence Taylor is, like, motioning to the sideline of all people. Lawrence Taylor saying, please come out and get this guy who I just murdered and put his leg off him. It was Monday night game, late on the East Coast. That was right around the time where VHS recorders were cool, and only the cool kids had them. And somebody recorded the game on VHS. I can't remember who it was. We all went to, let's call him Bobby. That's a made-up name. And we all went to Bobby's house on Tuesday afternoon after school because it was the only thing anyone talked about at lunch of all periods and the entire day the next day. And so we all went to his house and watched it over and over and over again.
Wow, I can't do that.
Because we were 11.
Yeah.
And there was this new thing called a VHS recorder where we can rewind stuff on TV.
Was it J.J. Watt yesterday that made the hit?
It was J.J. Watt and Kareem Jackson. And honestly, when we showed it live, I didn't even notice it because you're looking at the quarterback's helmet. You're looking at how, you know, the look on his face is he gets pushed backwards. You hope he doesn't have a concussion. You're waiting for the flag. Honestly, I wasn't even looking at his legs. And then you saw it again and went, oh, God, take that off.
Did he break it in two places?
He broke his fibia and his tibia and his fibula, I beg your pardon. He broke both bones or two bones in his leg, and he had emergency. He had surgery last night. Right now they're saying he will play again. It is not a career-threatening injury, but he will not play again in 2018.
That just got to take the air out of the stadium, right, when something like that happens on both sides because, I mean, that's kind of the unspoken deal if you're playing football is you know that literally the next play could be the last play of your career.
Yep.
And it's horrible when something like that happens.
He's a well-liked guy. They play again on Thursday for Thanksgiving in Dallas, for Pete's sake, so it's not like they have any time to worry about this, but Colt McCoy's now their quarterback, and USC's own Mark Sanchez is one of six guys, I think, without a job who are going there throwing footballs today trying to be the number two quarterback.
Well, okay. Speaking of quarterbacks, do we have a quarterback controversy in Philadelphia yet? Do we have a Doug Peterson coaching controversy? What do we have with the Eagles, who at this point, after being destroyed by the Saints yesterday, realistically might not even make the playoffs after winning the Super Bowl last year?
No, I don't think they will because they're not that good. Doug Peterson said after the game, Carson Wentz tried to do too much. I believe it was the worst loss ever for a defending Super Bowl champion. There are two ways to look at this. Again, the Eagles aren't that good. Nick Foles isn't, certainly. Carson Wentz still has to be your quarterback. The other way to look at it is this. The Saints might be unbeatable.
Right. Now, the Rams won them a third time. Hopefully, the Rams beat the Chiefs tonight, and then the Rams can get them here and not have to go to New Orleans to face them again. I say a third time. Remember, they beat them here last year. The Rams beat the Saints here last year. But the Saints are a machine. The Saints, get this, they went for it yesterday on a 4th and 7 in the fourth quarter. Fourth and seven, up 31 in the fourth quarter. They threw a touchdown on said play. And when asked about it afterwards, Sean Payton said, "You never know, something bad happens. You can still lose when you're up 31. For the record, no NFL
no,
team has ever lost a game in the 99-year history of the league went up 31 points in the fourth quarter.
Okay,
every game played for 99 years.
Is although we did see a 28-point deficit in the third quarter. We did see that. But let me ask you this. How do you – you're a fan. Is that poor sportsmanship? Do you accept the coach's explanation, or do you think there should be a mercy rule at that point?
There should be no mercy rule. They get paid well. The coach was absolutely lying, and I have no problem saying that to his face. And the other thing is that's just who he is. I mean, they don't take the foot off the gas. So I don't think he has anything to apologize for. But he was not telling the truth by saying that, oh, well, we could still lose when we're up 31. That is comical. That is ridiculous. And Malcolm Jenkins, the Eagles safety, gave him a great big middle finger.
All right. Last game I wanted to hit with you, Andrew, is the Chargers game because Philip Rivers, was this his worst performance of the season, would you say?
I mean, if you're a fantasy player, he threw for 401 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also helped kind of sort of give the game away. Give Von Miller credit. He made a couple of great plays, but Philip knows, and he said it afterwards, that instead of clocking the ball on that third down, he could take a sack and the clock could keep running.
Yeah, it was terrible time management.
35, 40 seconds. Yep, and then Denver doesn't go back down the field. Now, Keenan Allen, bless his heart, always gives us a good quote, said that they gave the game away, and of the Broncos, quote, they suck, end quote.
So Philip Rivers had 2 interceptions, and once again, more field goals were missed, and extra points were missed, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which seems to really be more this season than any other season I can remember with people missing kicks.
See, I think the Chargers found their kicker now, this kid Michael Badgley. They tried him earlier, then now they brought him back. He missed one kick yesterday. Yes, it was significant, but they gave that game away. I mean, they should have been up. The Denver should have never, ever been in that game.
Okay.
And again, they had been away for 41 days, and it was at least half orange at a 25,000-seat stadium.
Yeah, true.
Which is not good. And tonight, by the way, game of the year, game of the month, of the week, of the year, of the millennium, of everything at the Coliseum.
Rams-Chiefs.
Can't wait. That sounds great. All right, Andrew, you are a delight. Thanks for joining us. Host of NFL's Up to the Minute and DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet. Did I mention Third Eye Blind?
You did.
And more all night one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. We got tickets you can win coming up at 9 a.m. So just around the corner here on K-Rock. We came on the air a few days ago, and we were doing a story about how the president of Iceland got in hot water in an interview with some school children where they asked his opinion on pineapple on pizza. It's good to know that people in other countries also ask dumb questions. What kind of underwear do you wear? Those kinds of questions that we see in America all the time. So what about pineapple on pizza, Mr. President? And he said if he could, he would ban it. And it caused a little bit of an international incident, as we explained at the time, because Hawaiian pizza, as it's known, was actually invented in Canada, and Canada took real offense to it, and there had to be an apology that was made. So Jensen asked the question at the time, if you could ban a food would no longer exist on the earth, what would it be? And I think that's an interesting conversation to have. Now, I think there are no right or wrong answers, right?
Well, let's remember that when I give my opinion.
Because it is subjective, right?
I mean,
it's okay for other people to like a food that you don't like.
Right.
But I do understand the concept of, like, there are people who would throw up at the thought of even eating pineapple on a pizza. And I get that we all have foods like that. So, Kevin, you want to start since you're Mr. Controversial here?
Mine is olives.
Holy
what?
Crap.
Black
olives.
Oh,
the worst.
Black and green?
Both.
What are you doing?
They're horrible.
No, you're
first
horrible.
Of all, Kevin is right. Olives are the devil's turds. About. Second of all,
the devil's turds.
How do you feel, Kevin, when you go into a supermarket and you see an actual olive bar where they have it set up with like 40 different kinds of olives for people?
Yeah, it's absurd.
I like olives on pizza. I like it in my salad.
I hate them. You can't even cover it up like in a salad or in a pizza. Right. I will pull every single olive off of a pizza.
You're wrong.
I'll take 10 minutes to get all the olives off before I eat it.
Is it that they're salty? Is that why I like them? I do like them.
I don't know.
Huh. Did you not hear they were the devil's turds? Did you not hear that?
I'd even drink olive juice.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh.
Wow. Kevin is 1,000% right on olives, by the way. There's no the first person who ever tasted an olive should say, well, that's inedible, and then they should have just stayed on the tree or the vine or wherever it grows.
1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to weigh in on this. Jensen,
what's yours, Jensen?
This is very specific. I don't think we should have pulpy orange juice.
Oh, I love that.
No.
My man.
It's not good. It's just normal orange juice.
I get the most.
I don't.
Most pulp.
Most pulp.
Yeah,
you get just pulp. I don't.
I like to chew my orange juice.
That's disgusting. It's not a meal. It's a liquid. I don't
it's both.
Need it. No, I don't need it to be gravy with beef pieces. It's disgusting. I just want my orange juice to be juice. Why does it have to have a brain? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I don't need it to have anything extra.
I also like the juice as well, though.
Sure, then get it just without the pulp.
No, but I like pulp, too.
What do you like about pulp?
It's more orangey.
You like the consistency?
Yeah, I sort of like it, yeah.
It's disgusting. It seems like a mistake.
And you always have to spit it out, like, just like, puh, puh, this is the pulp in your mouth.
No, you don't spit it out. It's good.
That you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to drink the pulp. But I just think it's gross. It's not good.
How about you, Dave?
Listen, I agree with the president, and pineapple needs to go.
Pineapple altogether, yes. Not just on pizza?
Everything. Because the pineapple one is the devil's fruit because it has spikes on it, so it doesn't want to be eaten.
You think it has a will?
Yes. And then pineapples just ruin everything it touches.
I love everything pineapple.
Like if you eat it by yourself, like I don't like pineapple as a flavor, but if you eat it by itself, okay, fine. I get that. But when you put it on anything else, it just ruins the meal, so it needs to go.
How about pineapple juice, though, Dave? Without pineapples, there's no pineapple juice.
I'm fine with that.
It's just on any other food. And,
yeah, just, it just, ugh.
Well, your girlfriend is not fine with that.
Being yours?
All right. I have two that are going to be very controversial, but I know that I am right. And these are things that I will allow, but not the way some people consume them.
All right.
Cold pizza.
Banned.
Pizza is a hot food. Pizza is a hot food.
And cold food.
Move on.
It gets, all congealed.
Send a mob of pitchforks.
It gets all congealed and ugly and awful. You should never, ever, ever. Look, since we harnessed fire, there's no excuse to ever eat cold pizza. There's a way to heat it up. You've got a stove. You've got an oven. You've got a microwave. You've got a blowtorch. Whatever you've got. No cold pizza, sir.
Who eats up their pizza with a blowtorch?
Whatever you've got.
I mean, you don't think morning cold pizza is like a different feel. It's a different.
Absolutely unacceptable, sir. Absolutely.
So you would heat it up.
It can only be eaten hot. Yes. And the other one, and I know this is going to be very controversial as well. Coffee is a hot beverage. No cold coffee.
What? Unreal.
No cold coffee.
That's absurd.
The man's a Nazi.
Right? The people who go to Starbucks
I want
and
you
they
in
get
the ground.
The Frappuccinos or whatever they're called. Those
yeah,
cold
those are good.
Coffees. Those are no. It's cold coffee is. There's a reason why you don't drink cold coffee. By the way,
Beaton doesn't like anything cold. It's
yeah.
all hot.
Yeah.
It has to be hot pizza. It has
hot
to be
coffee,
hot coffee.
Hot pizza.
You know what? I only drink cold coffee. I don't even drink
Same.
Hot coffee.
You're a monster.
He needs it cold.
I want my coffee with black olives in it with a little bit of pineapple. I'm going full speed with cold pizza.
Let's go to Chris. He's Los Angeles, line 2, 1-800-520-1067. What's the food that should be banned? You don't like it, so nobody else is allowed to eat it. Chris, you're up.
Yeah, any kind of runny egg is just the most disgusting thing in the world to me.
Oh, really, Chip?
That's my one. I
she
love like, all foods.
Yeah.
It's my kryptonite. Soft-boiled eggs. Over easy. Anything that has a runny yolk, nope. Get out.
Wow.
Nope. And it frustrates me to no end anytime I see a burger place that looks like it has a really good burger, but then they put a fried egg on top with a runny egg.
Ruins the whole burger.
Yep.
Okay.
I can see that.
I think we'll allow it. I think fair enough. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Eric in Burbank, line 5. If we took 1,000 calls, I would not have predicted Eric's.
Eric.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What do you hate? What would you ban?
I hate celery. Celery is
celery?
Awful. Celery? Okay?
Why? Celery is barely a food.
It's just water. It's
yeah,
negative
that's
calories.
My point. What taste is that? What taste is that?
Air.
It's terrible. And then also, they say it's -1 calories, like eating it is good for you. Yeah. I don't eat something to not gain calories. I eat food to gain calories. That's the point of food.
Yeah, you don't eat to lose weight. It does taste a little like dirt.
When I eat.
You know what I mean?
I mean, but it's to me, it's unoffensive. You can either like it a little or dislike it a little, but it doesn't stand out so much.
Eric, what about a nice piece of celery as a snack with peanut butter on
Perfect.
It?
Boom.
Yeah. I was gonna say that, you know, I've been able to tolerate that over the past few years.
Because it hides the taste of the celery.
It doesn't. Right? Like, I'll rather have a spoonful of peanut butter, you know?
Okay. Just cut the celery out altogether. All right. Fair point. 1-800-520-1067. What food are you banning? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right. Just ahead of Linkin Park, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Ken in Canyon Country. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, good morning.
Ken, we're talking about foods that you would ban if you could. You don't like it, so no one should like it. What is it?
Cool Whip. I like whipped cream.
Either Cool Whip or whipped cream.
Nah.
Get off the phone.
Get off our phone.
That is disgusting.
What are you putting on your banana, your hot banana? What are they called?
Banana
hot fudge sundae.
Hot fudge sundae. What are you putting on your hot fudge sundaes, Ken?
What?
All right, he's off our phone. Okay, thanks.
What do you put on your hot banana?
Talking about banning foods, a couple before we go back to the phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. This one texted in, Kevin in the 951. Ban lima beans. They are awful chalk balls. By the way, lima beans are my favorite vegetable.
What?
Just so you know, my favorite vegetable. Podcast listener here, this is Mike. He wrote when he heard us discussing having this conversation on the air, addressing foods that should be banned. My number one food is cottage cheese. How is this a food? I learned at a very early age that when milk turns chunky, do not eat the milk. So gross.
Yeah,
he does have a point.
Cottage cheese can be dangerous, that's for sure. And one more, Paul writes in. He says black licorice. He wants to ban black licorice.
A lot of people hate black licorice. Yeah.
Preach.
Really?
I like it. But a lot of people hate it, yeah.
You're okay with red licorice, Jensen?
Oh, hell yeah.
Just know I'm black. Okay.
Yeah.
Racist. All right. Let's go to line six, please. Let's get Will on the air calling Los Angeles. We'll take as many calls as we can here. What food do you want to ban, Will?
Avocados. They're disgusting.
It's Los Angeles. We're a local radio station.
I love avocados.
And I'm Latino, and like my wife will try to trick me and put stuff in, and it's like I can detect that a mile away. A gag is disgusting. Get rid of it.
I love that she tries to trick you.
He does save a lot of money, though.
I think she's trying to kill me, but yeah.
But think of all the lives that are saved if there's no avocados. Then there's no avocado hands at the emergency rooms.
Good point.
You know, it's a safety hazard. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to David, line eight. He's in Bel Air. Oh, Bel Air.
Hey, David.
How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. We don't get a lot of calls from rich people. What's going on, David?
I'm just in the area. But my food is mayonnaise. It is disgusting.
Mayonnaise. Mm.
We've gotten rid of mayonnaise and avocado. What are white people going to do?
I like mayonnaise. I'm good with that.
No, it's funny. I saw that movie Undercover Brother years ago, and I was like, oh, I wonder if that's why I don't like it.
Oh, that's interesting. How are you with other condiments? Where do you fall on ketchups and mustards?
Oh, don't get me started.
I'm not a big fan of ketchup. Mustard's good.
Oh, just the opposite. Mustard is crap.
No.
Any type of mustard sucks.
What do you put on your Dodger dogs, Kevin?
Ketchup all day. All day.
You disgust me. I want you in a grave.
Ketchup.
All right. Thank you for the call, David. Appreciate that. Let's go to Paul, just so we can dismiss him quickly on line one.
Oh, Paul's right.
Hey, Paul, what's the one food you want to ban?
Candy corn is disgusting. You're absolutely right.
Get off my phone. That just means there's more for me. Let's go to Joseph, line two, Eagle Rock.
I thought you said everybody could have their opinion and it's subjective and let's not
But he was
attack.
Wrong. Okay. He's wrong about candy corn.
I'm the guy from Eagle Rock who you wanted to give the Rams tickets to my dealer.
Oh, this is the guy. He's coked up. He's so coked up. He's called twice. He's actually been on the line the whole time on hold.
Yeah, I never give up. I keep on talking. No, beets. It's got to be beets.
Beets suck.
I hate beets. Suck. They taste bad. They smell bad. They look funny. And they stain your clothes.
What else about beets, though? What else do you not like about beets?
They stain your clothes.
Right.
I already said that.
And then you, I hate to bring this up, but then you feel like you're dying when you poop because after the beach, you're like, oh my God, something broke.
Oh, that's gross.
No, but then you do.
Joseph, call us every day, sir. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to another Joseph. This is line 5, La Habra, up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Joseph, what are you trying to ban here, buddy?
Tofu. What the heck, guys?
Oh, I'm with you
tofu,
on that.
Get rid of it.
I find tofu to be, I mean, look, here's the thing I'll tell you about tofu. A lot of it is terrible. There is such thing as really, really good tofu.
But they claim that almost all tofu tastes better, blah, blah, blah. And that's just a lie.
How is the taste different of tofu? What I've had many of them. They're just consistency based, right?
Yes, but some of them are more flavorful than others is what I'm saying. There definitely are good kinds of tofu. Maybe you haven't had any yet. And you're also probably a meat eater, so you don't have a lot of occasion to have tofu.
No, I'm steak and potatoes kind of guy, so tofu needs to get out as soon as possible.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks for the call. Wow, these calls cannot come in any faster.
Yeah.
Let's go to Azusa. Kathy, up next, please. Line 6.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
Oh, okay, so I hate mushrooms with a passion. They do not belong on pizza. They just suck. I hate them.
That is what I get. I get a cheese pizza with mushrooms. That's what I get.
That's delicious.
Oh,
that's great.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I get it if you're just pulling them like out of the ground on a walk. Maybe they don't taste just right.
What kind of an animal are you?
But if they're prepared, I think we're going to – can we overrule her?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you for the call.
And it's binding. Legally.
Yeah, no.
Monty writes in, by the way, on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, pickles have to go.
Agreed.
Get them off the planet.
Agreed.
Have you been to a deli? They bring you the – those are – they're great.
Hate it.
Oh, good.
Hate it. Don't want it.
All right.
Pickles need to go. Brussels sprouts, too, by the way.
What are you doing?
Get the F out of my life.
You all are just disgusting.
Priscilla, Hermosa Beach, Line 8. Jensen, are you getting the impression that Kevin's menu is very limited?
Yeah, it's just mac and cheese left, and I don't even know if he likes that.
I do. I love it.
Okay,
I eat it every day.
All right, good.
Priscilla, hi.
Yeah, hi, guys. Raisins have to go.
Oh, raisins.
Raisins? Oh. What's wrong with delicious, sweet raisins?
Well, I'm from Brazil, and, like, during the holidays, they put raisins in rice and, like, a lot of holiday foods. They just have to go because people pick them out. So,
she's actually right.
She's actually right.
She is right. People that put raisins in too many things, and I do pick it up.
What about raisin bread toast?
Oh, good question.
I like that. Mm. No?
How about raisin bran?
Ooh.
How about the California raisins? Great
all.
Band.
You guys can keep them.
Priscilla's just out on all of them.
How about raisin Arizona? Come on, you got to give me that one.
How about Puffy's performance in Raisin in the Sun?
Come on, Priscilla, work with us.
We're trying to save raisins.
Keep them all.
She's out. Okay, thanks for the...
Dear Kevin and Bean, mayonnaise is the devil's juice and needs to disappear from existence. Not just banned. Whoever thought it was a good idea should have their toenails pulled out and fed to them. That seems extreme. Somebody doesn't like mayonnaise. A lot of responses still coming in on our discussion earlier this morning on foods that you would like to have.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
The two surviving members of the Beastie Boys have a book out now. It's you would not finish this book in your lifetime, Kevin. It
I
is
know.
Over 500 pages, I want to say.
Yeah, it's a doorstop.
And you started it already, Jensen. How is it?
It's so good. They're great storytellers, obviously. And as a hip-hop nerd, this is right up my alley.
And it's amazing how much memorabilia stuff there is, photos from the early days and just you know, just pictures of everything. I mean, if there's a Beastie Boys fan that you think this, you know, with the holiday season coming up, might be a great gift.
Perfect gift.
Yeah. 5 minutes away from your tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Stand by for that. First, in for Allie, here's Jensen with What's Happening.
Yeah, before, let's give away some tickets for some comedy heads out there. We're giving out Amy Schumer tickets. She's going to be at the Orpheum Theater on December 5th.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
That's right. You got to call that phone number now. We're going to get 3 winners. Let's do callers 17, 18, and 19.
See, all right.
Right? Amy Schumer.
Sure.
Comedy heads.
Call now.
Okay. Tekashi 6ix9ine. He's the rapper who has rainbow hair and face tattoos.
Right.
Know
good
who
look.
He is. Yeah, it looks like a strawberry shortcake on crack. He's been arrested again, reportedly, this time by federal police for racketeering charges.
I don't even know what racketeering is.
Isn't it? It involves money laundering and
oh, is that what
stuff,
it is?
Right?
I
no?
think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's like mafia stuff.
Hmm.
As TMZ reports, the rapper is believed to be in federal custody alongside his recently fired manager and two other former associates. It's reported that 6ix9ine was arrested last night in New York alongside another suspect who I clocked for this story. His name is Fahim Walter, but he's known as Crippy.
Crippy?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, Crippy went down?
Yeah, if you have a friend named Crippy, you're going to get arrested. They're all reportedly facing racketeering and firearms charges following a joint investigation from the ATF, NYPD, and Homeland Security.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't want those three looking at anything you're doing.
It's not like a rapper to be involved with firearms either.
No, no. Earlier this month, the rapper reached a plea deal for allegedly assaulting a police officer. Following his arrest in May, he pleaded guilty to a charge of disorderly conduct. And then also, he was charged with illegally parking his car in Brooklyn. That seems minor. on the larger scale, though, he's currently on probation for a sex crime case involving a child in 2015.
Oh, my gosh.
So if your kid's listening to Tekashi 6ix9ine, maybe pull it off the iPod.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then ask yourself why your kid still has an iPod.
Yeah, it's true. Well, this is a time traveler I'm speaking to.
Okay.
Specifically, my time traveling listeners. Nick Jonas has been living with type 1 diabetes since 2005.
Is that right?
That's right. And this Friday, this last Friday, he opened up on social media about the impact that the diagnosis had on his life. Jones shared a side-by-side image comparing what he looked like at age 13, just weeks before being diagnosed with the disease, and what he looks like now. He was barely 100 pounds, having lost so much weight from his blood sugar being so low. And now, as you know, Nick Jonas, singing hunk.
Oh, yeah. Nick Jonas is so cute.
And he's fighting type 1 diabetes.
Wow.
You weird drop. Jonas also shared an encouraging message to his fans and all those who have been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, saying, "Never let anything hold you back from living your best life. Thank you to all my fans for their kind words and support. Love you all."
Good for him. By the way, isn't diabetes incredibly common around the world?
Yeah, especially in the United States.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's more common than ever.
Yeah.
Big Star Wars news this weekend when it was announced that legendary composer John Williams will be providing an original score for theme park visitors when they visit attractions at the upcoming Star Wars-themed land of Galaxy's Edge, opening at Disney Parks this next year. Entertainment Weekly posted an exclusive preview with some of the music this weekend. Let's take a listen. I'm not
sick, but I'm not well.
That's
Harvey Danger?
Yeah, they're going to be playing Harvey Danger throughout the park.
It's a strange choice, I got to be honest.
Pulsita. Yeah, it's Boba Fett's favorite song. Let's listen to the real song.
Star Wars,
sure is.
It's all the
now,
same.
I am surprised by this.
I feel like he wrote one theme song and then that's it. I feel
like he hasn't been doing the scores for the most recent Star Wars movies. I kind of thought he was out of that business.
I think he did the first JJ one and then he was out of the business. But he will be returning in December 2019 for JJ Abrams Episode 9. So
he will
be doing that. But that was a sample of the theme for the park overall. So when you walk around, you'll be hearing that. It was recently recorded by the London Symphony Orchestra at Abbey Road Studios.
It's astonishing how many movie themes that we all know and love he has written. I mean, he really is a miracle.
I mean,
like Indiana Jones and, you know, so many others.
Yeah, he's the best of all time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Today's birthdays, media giant Ted Turner, actress Jodie Foster, former Guns N' Roses member, now in Velvet Revolver, Matt Sorum, interviewer and a ventriloquist doll with skin spots, Larry King.
What do you care?
That was the most to the point clip. I feel like he says that to every guest.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
All right. Let me hear the moment with.
And now, a moment with Bean.
What are you putting on your banana, your hot banana? What are they called?
Hot Fudge Sunday.
What are you putting on your Hot Fudge Sundays, Ken?
That was a moment with Bean.
That was pretty sweet.
I wasn't expecting to wake up today and ask a listener what he was putting on his hot banana, but that's what ended up
sometimes
happening.
It just works that way.
9:36, time for our final look at what's happening in for Allie. Here's Jensen.
Mm-hmm. Listen, guys, the Cleveland Browns are a tire fire disguised as a sports franchise. We all know that. I would rather be a fan of the Little Giants over Cleveland Browns. They have continued their miserable ways this year, so much so that they fired their head coach, Hugh Jackson, earlier this season. And now,
as he plays Wolverine and he didn't have time to devote to the team.
Now they'll be interviewing candidates, and one possibility was published by ESPN this weekend, and it seemed like a punchline to a joke. The name? Condoleezza Rice.
That's a woman for you.
I saw that, and I thought that can't be true.
No, can't be real.
And yet, she's one of the most accomplished people I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, she's the former Secretary of State.
So could she? Yeah.
Well, yes and no. ESPN
it's
is
the Browns.
They're standing by their story. Yet the Browns are denying it. Condoleezza Rice is a diehard Browns fan and part of an inaugural college football selection committee. So it's not totally random, but that was all the background I could find about her in football. There is also a picture of her online throwing a football.
Is that right?
It had form.
So maybe she goes in at quarterback?
I mean, she'd be better than where they're at now. She's on the Browns sidelines recently also with Browns executives. But sadly, the team put out their official statement proclaiming that they love Condoleezza Rice, but she will not be up for the gig.
It sounds racist.
Yeah, it would have been the first female ever interviewed for a head coaching job, so let's hope that happens soon.
Yeah, agreed.
Congratulations to This Is Us star Mandy Moore, who this past weekend got married to the lead singer of Dawes, Taylor Goldsmith. That was announced by Mandy Moore's reps today.
They've been together for quite a while. I like them as a couple.
Yeah, good celeb couple. You like Dawes?
I love Dawes.
All right.
I adore them.
Edgy of a revolution. It's kind of, isn't it, right? It's kind of like Maroon 3.
No, they're in the the LA singer-songwriter tradition.
I'm just asking.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. I think they're terrific. And I understand. I don't watch This Is Us anymore, but I understand that Taylor wrote a song that Mandy Moore sang on the show a couple weeks ago that was just devastating.
All right.
And people were really, really into it. They've been together for a while. I like them very much together.
Dawes super fan, Bean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Celebs in attendance included co-stars Chrissy Metz, Sterling K. Brown, and Milo Ventimiglia. Moore was previously married to singer Ryan Adams, so she has a bit of a type. But they divorced back in 2016 and actually sparred in the media recently when Mandy Moore said in an interview that she was constantly belittled by Adams during their time together. Mm. And then Ryan Adams responded on Twitter by saying they were doomed from the start because she didn't like Blade Runner or the Melvins. but now, congrats to Mandy Moore and the dude from Dawes, together forever like all celebrity couples are.
Sure.
Deadpool 2 may have first come out this past summer, but it's returning for a limited time to theaters in December. But now it won't be the movie you remember. They're adding the lovely Fred Savage to the cast, as it now will be a PG-13 version and paying homage to his early career role in The Princess Bride.
Right before Christmas, a good guy in red is coming to theaters with his new sidekick, Fred.
Why am I here?
You're in a PG-13 version of Deadpool.
Filtered?
Through the prism of childlike innocence.
I'm a grown man.
And nobody
man.
Does childlike innocence like you, Fred. Nobody. I need you almost as much as you need me.
I don't need you at all.
You need me.
Deadpool, played by Ryan Reynolds, which you just heard, will be telling his story to a tied-up Fred Savage, but in a much more friendly family way.
I don't
way.
Get the point. I mean, the point is to make more money yeah. out of the franchise, but yeah. I don't get artistically why anyone would want a PG-rated Deadpool.
Well, I think what would happen is they did some sort of research at Disney, Marvel, Fox, whatever one puts out the Daredevil one. I think they would just say, like, you know, I couldn't take my kid to go see it. I wish he loved
it. Makes
Deadpool.
Sense.
And then
yeah,
they
but
just...
not everything is for kids.
That's true. That's true.
But I couldn't take my kid to go see 12 Years a Slave. So could you re-release that, please, without as much beating?
Yeah, my parents wouldn't let me play that one Two Life Crew song. So I instead got a cassette single for Me So Hungry. So I know that feeling.
That was pre-kids bop. Now yeah. they've taken care of that.
That's right. Me So Ornery? I don't know. So if you want to check out the new version, which will reportedly have a new scene or two as well, which is kind of cool, you'll have your chance for a limited time starting December 12th. With the movie now called Once Upon a Deadpool. I don't okay. know, guys. Nick Jonas, he's got type 1 diabetes, and he's had it since 2005. And on Friday, the singer opened up on social media about the impact that the diagnosis has had on his life. Jonas shared a side-by-side image comparing what he looked like at age 13, just weeks before he was diagnosed with the disease, and it was under 100 pounds.
Wow.
Little tiny Jonas. Now he's big, buff, and physically well. I don't know if you've seen him. He's kind of a stud. He also put an encouraging message to his fans on social media, saying, "Never let anything hold you back from living your best life. Thank you to all my fans and your kind words and support." Also, his fiance, Priyanka Chopra, voiced her support in the comments section, writing, "Everything about you is special, with or without diabetes." Seemed like an
That's odd
comment. Then she put a kiss emoji, so I guess everything else is kind of forgotten. But I don't know. You're hot, with or without diabetes. Kind of a weird thing.
That is Somebody would have come up to under 100-pound 13-year-old Nick Jonas, though, and said, "One day you're going to be marrying, what was she, Miss World or something?"
Yeah.
He would not have predicted that would have been his lot in life.
Yeah, I don't think that would probably be. I mean, he's like, "I need sugar." That's probably what he would probably say. "My levels are low."
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
Those kids seem cool, right? The Jonases?
I guess.
They're no Dawes. Today's birthdays: mediocre rapper Tyga, actress Jodie Foster, the lovely Allison Janney, actor Adam Driver, an interviewer in Halloween skeleton decoration holding a microphone, Larry King.
"We never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses. So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club."
Don't ever change, Larry.
Was he yelling into a potato?
I don't know. Somebody's got to get him back on TV.
I mean, he's a glorious American tradition. Guys.
He did April Fool's this for us a few years ago, Jennifer. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of that.
He's a storyteller on stage, right?
And yes. killed.
Really?
He was tremendous.
Well, he did know Jesus Christ growing up, so.
Yes, he did. He's got a lot of stories.
Got a lot of stories. And that is what's happening.
Thanks, Jensen. The SoCal Helpful Honda Dealer. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. She's playing night two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Billie Eilish will join us in studio.
She's so young, her generation doesn't have a name. She's not a millennial, she's very
young.
She's 16. Yeah.
Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons will be on the program tomorrow, and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost.